To whom did she owe her allegiance now, if not herself or her former peers? She didn't have good answers for any of these questions, yet she had lost the fingers of her left hand fighting for them. That made the pain worse somehow.
"What happened to your droid?" she asked Jet in return.
"Clunker? He's somewhere under that lot," the smuggler said, indicating the pile of masonry left in the wake of the thermal detonation. He had armed himself with a blaster dropped by one of the dead soldiers outside.
"Don't worry. He'll be back when he's ready."
"I recognize his model," she said, clutching at the fact as though it would explain everything. "J-8-O soldier class. That's why he talks in combat signs. But they were phased out, weren't they?"
"Perhaps," he said. "I found him on a scrap heap 2 years ago. His vocoder was dead, and when I tried to fix it, he just broke it again. That proves how smart he is. He's worked out that if you don't respond to orders, no one can prove you heard them."
"That's a pretty good survival tactic," she said, "for anyone in the army."
They leaned out of the vault to see if anything had changed outside. The Hook kicked up some pebbles nearby, but missed by more than a meter. Patanin's last surviving escort returned fire from the other side of the antechamber. He missed too. Lorin could have aimed better even with just one hand.
"What's your name, Private?" she called to him.
"Etchke, sir," he called back.
He was a young Keldor, and his face was mostly hidden behind a face mask and goggles designed to protect him from a harsh oxygen atmosphere.
"Who told you to call me, sir?"
"No one, sir."
He obviously didn't know anything about her past. She wasn't going to be the one to fill him in. The sound of digging grew louder.
"Lorin," Jet said, leaning in closer. "Do you think we've been left to hold the baby?"
"In what sense?"
"In the someone's gonna have to explain this mess to Desaboration, it might as well be you sense."
"Don't worry," she said. "He'll be back."
"Who? Your Jedi friend? Or Envoy V.E.?"
Lorin looked around. She hadn't noticed that the envoy was gone. Although, now that she thought about it, she did remember Jet telling her something about Ula meeting them at the shuttle. It hadn't occurred to her to wonder when and how they would go about getting there. Ula had left before the security forces had sealed their only way out.
"I mean Shigar," she said. "Jedi Knights always keep their promises."
"And what exactly did he promise you?"
She suppressed a sharp reply. What was Jet getting at? Sure, Shigar may not actually have promised to come back for her, but she knew he would if he could. And while Tassa Barisha's security forces amassed outside, there was nothing else she could do but trust him. She had given up trying to hail him on the comlink long ago. She stood up.
"I suggest..."
The sound of a distant explosion cut her off. The floor shook, and a rain of dust settled down on them from above. There was no way to tell where this latest blast had come from, so she finished what she'd been about to say.
"I suggest we look at this thing while we still have the chance."
She crossed to the miniature droid factory and peered inside. The swirling silver cilia were still now, so she felt safe assuming it was dead. She tried tipping it over to see the base, but it was firmly affixed by the wire-like threads that had eaten down into the vault floor like tree roots. A piece of the silvery alloy had melted off during the firefight in the vault. She picked it up and weighed it in her hand. It was surprisingly heavy.
"Let me get this straight," she said. "This thing was on the Cinzia. You found it in the wreckage and brought it to Hutta. Tassa Barish locked it in here. It looked inert, but it wasn't. It sent out those thread things into the floor and..."